Welcome to Whiskey Cask, Cask Strength Conversation, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 439 for August 25th, 2013. Coming up in a few minutes.
My eighth grade science project was actually a still. These days, you'd probably not be able to get away with that. But our science teacher was also the football coach, and as a football player, I guess I got a little bit more running room, leniency.
Herman Mihalik and John Cooper were fraternity brothers 35 years ago at the University of Pennsylvania. Now they're making Dad's Hat Pennsylvania Rye Whiskey in a converted wool mill just north of Philadelphia. They'll tell us their story later on Whiskey Cast in Depth. I'll also have the calendar of events, your voice, and in the What I'm Tasting This Week department, I'll have my tasting notes for one of bourbon's holy grails, the Pappy Van Winkle's Family Reserve 23-year-old, all on this week's Whiskey Cast.
Whiskey Cast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Let's start off with the week's news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Jack Daniel's is the 700-pound gorilla of American whiskeys, and the gorilla is getting bigger. Brown-Forman announced plans on Thursday to invest more than $100 million over the next 2 years to expand production at the distillery in Lynchburg, Tennessee. A second stillhouse will be built, along with more maturation warehouses and additional infrastructure. Jack Daniel's sales grew 9% last year and have turned in 21 straight years of increases. The move follows Brown-Forman's decision in June to spend $35 million to upgrade its Woodford Reserve distillery in Kentucky. Meanwhile, John Teeling thought he was done with the Irish whiskey business when he sold the Cooley Whiskey Company to Beam at the end of 2011. But if you've ever heard Al Pacino's classic line from The Godfather Part 3,
"Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in."
Well, the whiskey business can sort of work like that, too, without the bloodshed. John Teeling heard the head of Dundalk's Chamber of Commerce pleading for someone to come in and take over the Great Northern Brewery in County Louth. Diageo is closing the brewery and moving Harp Lager production to the Guinness St. James Gate Brewery in Dublin. Teeling, his sons Jack and Stephen, and a group of investors stepped up. They've agreed to buy the brewery and convert it into a distillery over the next year. Teeling plans to repeat his formula from Cooley with the new distillery, focusing on bulk whiskey sales to independent bottlers. That market dried up in Ireland after Beam decided to cut off almost all bulk sales from Cooley and focus on its own brands. Jack and Stephen Teeling are still planning to build their own distillery in the Dublin area, and their Teeling Whiskey Company will be run independently from the family's new venture. In other news, the widely anticipated release of this year's edition of Parker's Heritage Collection Bourbon came this week. As I've mentioned before, this year's edition is named Promise of Hope. Heaven Hill will donate $20 from each bottle to the ALS Foundation's Parker Beam's Promise of Hope Fund. Parker was diagnosed with ALS last winter, and Heaven Hill is hoping to raise at least $250,000 for the fund with this year's release. It's a 10-year-old bourbon selected by Parker from his personal honey spot in the Heaven Hill warehouses, with no chill filtering, and bottled at Parker's preferred strength of 48% ABV. It'll be available at select retailers in the U.S. over the next few weeks. Of course, Parker is one of the legends of bourbon. Middleton's Barry Crockett is one of the legends of Irish whiskey. He announced his retirement earlier this year, and the final edition of Middleton Very Rare to bear his signature was released this week. He created the original edition of Middleton Very Rare back in 1984. This year's version has whiskeys from ex-bourbon casks ranging from 15 to 24 years in age, blended by master blender Billy Layton. It'll be available worldwide. By the way, Barry's retirement party is coming up in a couple of weeks at Middleton as they dedicate the distillery's new stillhouse expansion. I'll have coverage of that in 2 weeks on Whiskey Cast. Virginia's Catoctin Creek Distillery has a new stillhouse, too. In fact, Catoctin Creek has a whole new distillery after renovating an historic building in Purcellville, Virginia, over the last few months. They're holding a grand opening this weekend to celebrate. Ichiro Akuto is adding on to his Chichibu distillery in Japan. Turns out an elderly cooperage owner was ready to retire, so Ichiro acquired all of his equipment and just finished building a new cooperage adjacent to the distillery. His team will use the cooperage to repair casks, and the previous owner will be teaching them the art of making new casks this fall. And finally, we heard from Greg Ramsey of the New Zealand Whiskey Company last fall in episode 391 after the Midwest Whiskey Olympics he helped promote at Michigan's Journeyman Distillery drew the ire of the U.S. Olympic Committee. Now Ramsey's in a legal fight with William Grant & Sons. Once again, it's a trademark issue. Dunedin Doublewood came out 5 years ago, and now Grant's lawyers in New Zealand are demanding that Ramsey change the name of his New Zealand single malt. They're claiming trademark infringement with Grant's rights to the name Doublewood, which it's used on a Balvenie expression since 1993. Grant's didn't register the Doublewood trademark in New Zealand until last year, and Ramsey told the New Zealand Herald the legal threat was full of, quote, bluster and heavy-handedness. It could have been worse.
Well, make him an offer he can't refuse.
This fight looks like it's headed for court, or as the Corleone family would say,
he's running wild. He's thinking of going to the mattresses already.
That's enough Godfather references for this week. You can keep up with the latest whiskey news all week long at whiskeycast.com.
The news is brought to you by Glenmorangie. Help us select the next Glenmorangie single malt whiskey with the Glenmorangie Caskmasters project. Sign up online through the Glenmorangie Facebook page or on glenmorangie.com.
This month's WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings is now online. Had the pleasure of spending an evening with Carl Kadar and his group of lounge lizards the other night in Newark, Delaware. They tasted the Beaumont 10-year-old Doris Moore, Tempest outside the U.S., Brooke Laddie's Laddie 10, the Laphroaig 10-year-old, and the Jura 10-year-old. You can listen or download the latest episode at WhiskeyCast.com or the iTunes Music Store. September is just a week away. It's traditionally Bourbon Heritage Month in Kentucky. I've started celebrating a few days early, and we're offering a Bourbon Heritage Month special in the WhiskeyCast Photo Gallery. With every print order over $100, you'll receive a free 11x14-inch print of The Rickhouse. And on top of that, I'll donate 20% of all sales between now and September 30th to the ALS Foundation's Parker Beam's Promise of Hope Fund. You'll find links for the fund and the gallery at WhiskeyCast.com and on our Facebook page. This week's Your Voice is sponsored by Highland Park. You might have noticed a little change in WhiskeyCast this month. We decided the music that's been featured on WhiskeyCast for the last several years was getting a little boring, so people with far better taste in music than mine picked out our new music. Justin Victor sent this note from Oklahoma this week. Mark, I meant to send this email a week or more ago, but I wanted to give you some feedback on the new background music you've put into the recent episodes. In short, I love it. It's vibrant, upbeat, and fun. After years of listening, I still hold my weekend episode of WhiskeyCast as one of the highlights of my week. And during football season, that is a difficult accolade to achieve. There's no reason to come to Oklahoma for whiskey news, but if you're ever passing through, let me know. The whiskey will be on me. As always, keep up the good work. Justin. Thank you, Justin. When I get out to Oklahoma, I'll take you up on that. Curtis Kim posted this note on the Your Voice page at WhiskeyCast.com. I'm a big fan of Stranahan's Colorado, but the original stuff from distiller Jake Norris. I'm down to the last bit of my batch number 44, and the new stuff post-Proximo, while good, just isn't the same thing. A completely different animal. I loved the original, but with the new, I'd just as soon go Breckenridge. So, anyone know what the last batch Jake Norris oversaw was? And any clue how I can get a couple or a few bottles of it? Maybe a shop known to hold on to things for a while? Well, I did a little digging and found out that the last batch of Stranahan's that Jake produced was number 72. There probably aren't many of those bottles left since Jake left Stranahan's a couple of years ago, but if you know of a store that has some, please post a note on the Your Voice page. Of course, if you have a question, suggestion, or something you'd like to get off your chest, you can always post it on the Your Voice page. You can also email me. My address is comments@whiskeycast.com. This week's Your Voice is brought to you by Highland Park.
My name's Daryl Haldane, Global Brand Advocate for Highland Park. Go onto our website at highlandpark.co.uk and upload your photo at Inner Circle to have your face on the walls of the Highland Park Distillery.
Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Lafroig. Whiskey Live Taipei is this coming weekend in Taiwan. The Whiskey Exchange will host a Beaumont Masterclass with Ian McCallum on September 2nd at Vinopolis in London. Sam Snead's House of Whiskey in Auckland, New Zealand has a charity whiskey tasting to support the Ride to Conquer Cancer on September 5th. Maltstock 2013 is coming up September 6th through the 13th in Nijmegen, the Netherlands. That same weekend is the Sydney Whiskey Fair in Australia. The Whiskey Handel Whiskey Fair is coming up September 7th in Copenhagen, Denmark. The Colorado Distillers Festival is on the 8th in Denver. And the Kentucky Bourbon Festival is September 17th through the 22nd in Bardstown. You'll find almost 400 different whiskey events on the calendar at WhiskeyCast.com. It's brought to you by Lafroig. The annual Lafroig Live webcast is coming up on September 26th from Brooklyn, New York. You'll find all the details at lafroig.com/live. And while you're there, become a friend of Lafroig and claim your own square foot of Isla.
Whiskey Cast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Kevin O'Gorman, master of maturation, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
We're very fortunate in Midleton to have two very, very good coopers, Ger Buckley, who's our head cooper, and Donny O'Regan, the other cooper. In fact, Donny's nickname is Duxer, but we won't go into that. So we've two very, very good coopers, and their whole emphasis is on the quality of the cask and the quality of the wood. And they spend basically 8 hours a day or even longer looking after our cask. Ger, for example, is a fifth generation cooper. So it's in his family, five generations. In the cooperage area, he does a lot of cask repair. Most of the cask repair now would be the sherry butts. Because they're quite expensive, we would spend a lot of time, if needs be, repairing sherry butts. So Ger has a great appreciation of wood. His whole life revolves around wood, be it at home or at work. He also does a lot of work here for us as well in terms of, you know, doing special casts or making up different types of wood products. And Duxer spends a lot of time on cask inspection, the American barrels coming in from the States and also the sherry butts. And again, the two of them together, their clear objective is quality of the wood, and that's really it.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know Redbreast.
Long before Kentucky became synonymous with whiskey, they were distilling rye whiskey in Pennsylvania. In fact, some historians credit the Whiskey Rebellion during George Washington's presidency with pushing many farm distillers west out of Pennsylvania and into Kentucky. That's a matter for historians to debate, though. But what is not debatable is that whiskey production gradually dried up in Pennsylvania over the last several decades. Now, John Cooper and Herman Mihalik are trying to revive Pennsylvania's rye whiskey tradition. They're making Dad's Hat Pennsylvania Rye at an old wool mill in Bristol, in Bucks County, just up the Delaware River from Philadelphia. John and Herman shared their story with us for this week's Whiskey Cast In Depth.
Well, I was in the technology business for about 35 years. Herman was in the chemical industry for about 35 years. The two of us met at the University of Pennsylvania. We were fraternity brothers back in the 70s. And we were both home brewers over the years. We remained close friends post-graduation. And we always had a fascination with microbrewing and with distilling.
I learned how to distill from a few people in our neighborhood, actually, growing up. And my eighth grade science project was actually a still. These days, you'd probably not be able to get away with that. But our science teacher was also the football coach. And as a football player, I guess I got a little bit more running room leniency. And also, I studied chemical engineering in college. So I would say it's something that's been, you know, bred into me from a pretty young age.
About 2006, there was an article that came out in the New York Times that talked about the rebirth of craft whiskey and micro distilling. And it also did an emphasis on the rebirth of rye whiskey. That started the conversation going, and it was one of the things that we looked into hard and decided that there was an opportunity there and went ahead, wrote a business plan, went about raising some money. I raised a substantial amount of money, and we started the business. So we started the business about 4 years ago now. It'll be 4 years this coming February.
A little funky, but sweet.
Funky? What's that, the tails?
Close. We're getting close.
You getting close to tails?
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's still got that real nice sweet.
We have a pot still, then, and we've selected a side column, which gives us the option of running through the column or bypassing it. And we're able to use it in a way where we can use the still for stripping. We can do traditional pot stilling. Or if we want to use the side column to make a cleaner spirit, we can do that as well. So it gives us a lot of versatility.
We like to reutilize things that are from the past. This building has a lot of history and gave us an opportunity to come in here and repurpose the space and put it back into productive use.
The Grundy Mill, located in Bristol, PA, was a woolen mill, that dated back to the mid to late 1800s. And I'm told they went from sheep to fabric here. So on the other side of the building is where they used to dip the sheep and then shear them and make the wool and then, you know, spin the wool and make it all the way to the fabric at this location.
We're very proud of the fact that our bottles come from Anchor Hocking, just outside of Pittsburgh in a small town in Monaca, PA. So our rye grain comes from Pennsylvania, predominantly from Bucks County, but we also get it from York, Lancaster, Cheshire, Montgomery County. So all of our rye grain comes from Pennsylvania. Our bottles come from Pennsylvania. Our labels are printed in Pennsylvania, applied in Pennsylvania, and we do everything here on site, from grinding our own grain to fermentation to distillation to barrel aging to bottling, all right here in this one room.
So I'll do one last check to be sure my calculations are good. I'm sure we're down at 120 proof. For putting in our barrels. We should have just enough here to fit into the 12 barrels we want to do this afternoon. And it's amazing to see the things you learn in school are actually true. You mix water and alcohol together and the temperature goes up from the heat of mixing. It's actually quite remarkable. It heats up quite a bit just from mixing.
We're having a lot of fun. This is a lot of work. It's hard physical work, but it really is a dream come true. It's a tremendous amount of fun.
Yep. It's the gauge reads at 130 proof, which at 85 degrees Fahrenheit puts us at 120.4. That's close enough for barreling purposes. So now we've got enough spirit.
We use 15-gallon barrels, which are quarter casks. Quarter casks with a 3-4 char in them. They're heavily charred. And we do that in order to do rapid aging. As a small micro distiller or crafts distiller, we need to get product to market sooner. So we basically are making whiskey at a faster rate by utilizing the small barrels. Small barrel whiskey is a bit of a controversy in the industry when you compare it against large barrel aging. We do large barrel aging. That whiskey won't be available till probably late 2014 or 2015. At that point in time, we'll release that as a straight rye whiskey because it will have been aged for over 24 months. But you can imagine as you look around this room, this is a pretty capital intensive investment. So you need to start to recover cash sooner. And at 15 gallons, we can age 6, 7, 8, and 9 months and get a really exceptional yield out of those barrels. Small barrel aged whiskey can be very, very good whiskey, of which our whiskey is good whiskey. The difference is it's going to be different than what you're going to get out of a 53 gallon barrel. Actually, what you have to do is you have to start that process way up front when you're actually going through the distillation process, because you take a smaller or a narrower cut from the still when you're going to put it in a 15-gallon barrel than you will when you're going to put it in a 53-gallon barrel. So the amount of tails that you take off the back end of the distillation process varies based on the size barrel that you're going to use. By taking a narrower cut on the tails, by managing and monitoring our 15-gallon barrels, we get an exceptional yield. As a matter of fact, our 15-gallon barrel, a quarter cask barrel aged Dad's Hat Pennsylvania rye whiskey, just recently won the silver medal from the American Distilling Institute for aged rye whiskey. And considering that the oldest whiskey in that bottle is 9 months old, we're pretty proud of that.
Pennsylvania is the home state for rye whiskey. And I grew up in a Pennsylvania tavern where rye whiskey was served. My grandfather and father were both big rye whiskey lovers. I do wear my dad's hats. When my dad passed away several years ago, I inherited a whole slew of fedora hats. And as you can see, I'm a little challenged on top, so it's convenient to have hats. And I really enjoy wearing those beautiful fedoras. And so we were meeting with our communications company, Signature Communications in Philadelphia, and they came up with the idea of using this backstory, which is a nice backstory about the hats, but also, more importantly, having the fedora hat as a symbol of our brand. I mean, the fedora hat is it screams of Americana. It's an iconic symbol. You see a fedora hat, and it just screams of Humphrey Bogart and these days Mad Men and a lot of other very important iconic American symbols. So it really harkens back to a nostalgic time that where rye whiskey was a more important part of the American whiskey scene.
Don't skip on the forklift. It's the most versatile piece of equipment we have. We use it for everything. We use it to move the barrels around. We use it to move the pallets around. We use it when we're going to fill barrels. We use it when we're going to do the mashing process. This is how we lift the grain from the floor to there. If this thing broke down, we'd be shut down for quite a while until we got it back. So we always kid each other. We always say this is our most valuable employee.
Tell me about the vermouth finished rye, because that's something we have not seen before, as far as I know.
Yeah, we think it's absolutely unique in the world. We haven't seen anyone else doing it. And we came across the idea at the same time we discovered the Via Vermouth after a recommendation from someone to try it. They thought it would be a good match for our rye in Manhattan's. And after trying it, it was the same time where we had the idea of doing a finish. We were thinking maybe poured or something more traditional like sherry. And it just sort of a light bulb went off and said, wouldn't it be cool to do a finish in used vermouth barrels? We contacted people at Quaddy Wineries in California, the people who make the Via Vermouth. They were very pleased to supply us their used barrels at a very reasonable cost. And so we brought some out. We tried one, and after 3 months, we tasted it, and we were really very pleased with what we found. So we ordered several more barrels, and we continue to order more. And we think it's going to make, right now, we're calling it a limited release. But frankly, I think it may catch on, and we're preparing ourselves to make it a more mainstream product.
We are currently for sale in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New York, New Jersey, obviously Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, Washington, D.C. We recently shipped to Kentucky, kind of like selling coals to Newcastle. So we're in Kentucky. We're a special order in the state of Oregon and Idaho, and we're also widely distributed in the state of California.
We're not trying to grow too fast because we want to really try to maintain the quality of what we're producing and keep control of the business in a way that, we've built now a sustainable business where we're not burning money anymore. We're actually making money after the first year of sales, which is pretty good. But we also don't want to grow so fast that we outgrow our ability to properly supply the market.
Listen, there's nothing better than when you're out in a bar or a restaurant and your product is behind the bar and they're serving it, people are enjoying it, and people walk up to you and shake your hand and thank you for delivering a great product. I mean, what more fun can you possibly have than that?
You'll find a link to the Dad's Hat website at whiskeycast.com. They do have a tasting room, or a corner, inside the distillery. In fact, they built the tasting room out of recycled lumber from the packing materials their distilling equipment was shipped in, and they offer distillery tours several times a month. That's this week's Whiskey Cast In Depth. You'll find my tasting notes for the regular Dad's Hat Pennsylvania Rye at whiskeycast.com, but let's start off the What I'm Tasting This Week department with the Dad's Hat Vermouth Finished Rye. It's bottled at 47% ABV, and even though it's only about 9 months old, with 3 months of that in those ex-vermouth casks, the nose is smooth and well-balanced with mild spiciness and notes of fresh toasted rye bagels, allspice, dark chocolate, and graham crackers. The taste starts off smooth and thick with rye spiciness that builds up smoothly, but never overwhelms, and the vermouth influence kicks in slowly with hints of anise and red grapes. The finish is mellow, smooth, and lingers well. It's a very nice whiskey, even for being so young. I'm scoring the Dad's Hat Pennsylvania Rye Vermouth finish an 88. Amrut 100 is finally available in the U.S. It's a peated Indian single malt that's unique, finished in 100-liter casks, bottled in 100cl bottles, limited to 100 bottles per country, and bottled at the old 100 British proof level of 57.1% ABV. The nose has notes of dark chocolate, orange peel, wet leather, campfire embers, and hints of caramel and hazelnut. The taste is bold and fiery with chili peppers, curry powder, and black pepper, a touch of ashiness, and citrus tartness as the spices fade, along with chocolate, almond, and hints of fruit. The finish is long and subtly spicy with smoke, oak, and citrus touches. I'm scoring Amrut 100 a 92. And that brings us to what's often referred to as the world's most desired bourbon, the Pappy Van Winkle's Family Reserve 23-year-old. First off, I need to thank Carl Kadar for opening up a bottle from his collection for me the other night. Pappy is bottled at 47.8% ABV. The nose has notes of caramel, vanilla, honey, allspice, dark chocolate, and almonds. The taste is peppery with honey, allspice, hints of ginger, leather, and wet ripe tobacco out in the field. And the finish is long, subtle, and lingering with a mild pepperiness. Words really can't describe it, though I swear I could hear the angels singing while I was tasting it. I'm scoring Pappy Van Winkle's Family Reserve 23-year-old a 97. Now if I could just find my own bottle of it. Thank you again, Carl. I've added these tasting notes to the searchable list of more than 1,000 different whiskeys at the WhiskeyCast website. That's also where you'll find WhiskeyCast HD and WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings episodes, the calendar of events, your voice, and the latest whiskey news. The address is WhiskeyCast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at WhiskeyCast. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com.
WhiskeyCast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2013, and comes to you each week from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.